was December the 6th, 1983. I was doing time for armed robbery. At 4 in the morning, I was sitting in my cell. I heard a whistle blow, then I heard somebody yell.
There's a riot going on.
Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Dr. Sam Kennedy, and it is Sunday, April 6th, 10 p.m., 10:01 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're talking to Gaylene in California, who has a vexing problem that some party forged her elderly parent's signature on a deed. Now, Gaylene, let's preface this by saying, my memory is not great, but as I recall, you've been through a bunch of procedures, and it also involved, this is a complicated situation, civil and criminal, and the state attorney general was involved, is that correct?
Actually, just the county DA, the ill gentleman that actually forged or was in charge of forging the name, actually has admitted to it and has been sentenced through our local courts last January.
Then this should be a slam dunk. We already read you the solution earlier in the program. I would deal with this, if it was me, I would get out the pen and I would deal with this using those institutions of the public that would jump right down your throat if you forged someone's signature.
Okay.
And if it were me, since in California, I believe it's the Secretary of State that commissions notaries, is that correct?
I believe you're right, yes.
And was it a California notary seal that was used?
Well, yes and no. The seal had already expired 4 years earlier than the date that it said on the document and paperwork, and the notary, the lady notary, had never existed in the records of the state.
Yes, but it was a counterfeit California seal, right?
Correct.
That's a serious crime. And it's a serious crime that people can do time for. You have, are your parents blind?
No.
But they're old.
They're definitely seniors.
Okay, and I don't mean that to be judgmental. But it sounds to me like this letter that I read earlier would be perfectly suited to this kind of a situation. So if it was me, and with a writ of execution, there may not be a lot of time, I would probably do the following, Gaylene.
Yes.
I wouldn't put a patriot-type criminal complaint together or anything like that. I would do this all camouflaging with them and making the public think that you are a good little ignorant slave girl.
Okay. I can
and
do that.
I would contact the Secretary of State. I'd probably do it by phone tomorrow morning and say, we have a situation that's come to my attention that a couple of elderly people are about to be forced off their land on a fraudulent deed with a counterfeit California notary seal. What can we do about it?
Okay.
And they may say go to the state attorney general, but that's just the start. I would contact the SOS. I would also be feverishly writing a brief letter and a longer letter about this situation to catch the attention of the people I have in mind, and we can discuss that when we come back after the break.
Thank you.
Folks, you're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back in 2 minutes. Please stay with us. Maybe a solution that fits a lot of your situations.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare with your children being raised by someone else? With our free information, you can lead a less stressful life, work from home, and start earning money as soon as next week.
I was about to be laid off from a company that was going bankrupt. On top of that, I wanted my kids to have mommy care, not daycare. My first month, I made $1,000 part-time. After 90 days, I was home with my children. And for the past 7 years, I've been here for my three little girls. I love this business.
Go to freedom94.com. Get out of the rat race and start earning great money as soon as next week.
I was skeptical. However, I had to get out of corporate America. Both me and my wife were able to quit our jobs and now make over $10,000 a month from home.
Go to freedom94.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 94.com. Freedom94.com. And start earning great money as soon as next week.
Reports are coming in from all over North America about wild MPG.
My 97 Honda Civic went from just over 31 miles per gallon to over 50 miles per gallon.
My 98 Plymouth Breeze went from just over 38 miles per gallon to over 77 miles per gallon.
My 95 Ford F-150 went from 12.7 miles per gallon to 33 miles per gallon.
It's not a hybrid. It's not an electric. Wild MPG is an inexpensive modification that gives you incredible savings, a cleaner engine, better performance, more horsepower, less dependence on foreign oil, and better gas mileage.
Far better gas mileage.
Find out more at wildmpg.com.
Wild MPG means more money in your pocket.
The Wild MPG kit is absolutely guaranteed to increase your gas mileage by at least 50%, or the cost of the kit will be refunded to you. Visit wildmpg.com.
WildMPG.com.
Welcome to the revolution in fuel economy technology. WildMPG.com.
The Healing Formula is an all-natural wound care formula developed mainly for the treatment of pressure sores, also called bed sores. The Healing Formula was developed by a home caregiver with over 30 years' experience. We use the finest ingredients available, including organic aloe vera gel and 35% hydrogen peroxide. The Healing Formula works from the inside out, oxygenating the affected area, stopping the spread of infection, decreasing pain, while promoting healing. The Healing Formula has also proved effective in other areas, such as abrasions, cuts, burns, and rashes. There are over 6,000 peer-published documents on the ingredients in this healing bed sore formula, with not one adverse reaction reported when used properly. The Healing Formula comes with an unconditional money-back guarantee. If you are not completely satisfied, we offer a free sample to all nursing homes, home caregivers, nurses, and anyone with a non-healing wound. Please visit our website at healingformula.com or call 800-357-2944. That's 800-357-2944.
Welcome back, my friends, and thank you for sticking with us. This strikes me, and I certainly could be wrong, I often am, as one of those situations where the public can deal with the public. I would not do anything that smacks of patriotism, but I would raise holy hell as if my firstborn had been kidnapped. I would contact the state attorney general and the Secretary of State with a brief emergency letter that it has come to our attention. And if there's any organization you're affiliated with that could put its seal on that letter or do it on their letterhead or something that looks responsible, not that you're not responsible, that would increase the effect. A third-party letter, it has come to our attention that an elderly couple in their 70s is about to lose some property due to the filing of a fraudulent deed by a scam artist who's using a phony California notary seal. And we need your immediate intervention. That letter that I read, and certainly you could contact that mentor and get a copy of that letter, I'm sure. That letter would be a perfect approach. At the same time, I would be letter writing or calling the state senator and the congressman for that district. If I knew any people who knew these public officials directly, or if I knew an attorney who was a friend of the Secretary of State, which is may sound ludicrous, but it's amazing the contacts we run across. My criminal attorney years ago, who I'm glad to say we paid back for every bit of his malfeasance, was the former husband of the lieutenant governor of the state. Small world. So imagine if an attorney were to call the Secretary of State and say, you've got a fraudulent notary around, and there's an elderly couple that's about to lose their home on a fraudulent deed in a scam, and apparently that has been discovered by this benevolent association that's about to run to the news media with it. I would also contact some local reporters and bring it to their attention. You probably have a couple of programs in that locale where they follow up on these kinds of things. I'd bring it to the newspaper. As a former journalist, I can tell you, if it's all reporters care about is asking, putting a microphone under someone's nose and saying, how does that make you feel? That's really one of the first questions on the standardized list of questions that the computer kicks out if you're working for a national television program like A Current Affair or Inside Edition or something like that. They have a list of 6 or 7 questions. They print it out. They give it to people that they're going to be interviewing and say, well, here's what you can expect, until, of course, they get a chance to sandbag them. So all of those approaches, raising all holy hell in the public venue, would, in my opinion, probably be more effective than anything one might try commercially. Because the problem is, when you try something strong commercially, what's going to happen? They're going to wind up grouping together and defending the fraud and going after you because you're the real threat to the system.
Sounds right.
Yeah. So you're an intelligent woman. You have good capability. Coincidentally, I read that letter on the air tonight. I mean, it would take, you've probably done a year's worth of work on that case, and this would take a couple of days to amass the addresses. Now, as you know, I'm not a big fan of putting carbon copy on the bottom and listing 10 things, but in this case, this would be an ideal situation to list a couple of reporters' names, not just generic television stations, but a couple of reporters' names, the congressman's name, and some public officials as well. So if you send a letter to the SOS, you also put a notice on the bottom that it's going to the Attorney General. And on the bottom of the Attorney General's letter, you bet there should be a notice that there is a carbon copy that it's gone to the reporters. There's, I would put a long list of people it's gone to, the reporters, the congressman, the senator, and whoever else, county commissioners. How about the clerk in charge of the filing of records for the county?
Okay.
The keeper of the land records, the real estate office in the county. If they file a fraudulent deed with an invalid notary seal after being noticed, they're at risk. I would give them a personal letter alerting them that if this deed comes along, they must reject it. It's being based upon a fraudulent, any deed to that property is being based upon a fraudulent deed, on a fraudulent notary's seal, a forged signature. And then also, you would want to amass a very brief affidavit from the principals stating that at no time have they signed a deed selling the property that they have lived on the last 40 years of their life.
Okay.
Or something to that effect. And I would attach that to the back of the letter. And so on and so on. I'm sure as we sat here and discussed this together, we could probably come up with half a dozen other similar ideas where we'd be putting the pressure on these people to intervene. I would make it very clear to the clerk that they're being watched for this filing. They are expected to protect the public records from fraudulent filings, and you are giving them the affidavit as evidence that this is a fraudulent filing, plus a copy of the deed where you would highlight and circle the fraudulent notary seal. At the same time, a copy of all of those letters should be sent to the title company.
Sent where?
To the title company.
Oh, yes, of course.
And to the title company's risk management carrier. Or to the title company with a brief one-paragraph letter that says, "Dear sir, as you know, you are in possession of a fraudulent deed. Please find the following affidavit and letter and our notice that we intend to make a risk management claim against your insurance carrier. Please provide the name of your name, address, and contact attorney, the power of attorney party in the state capital for that carrier. Or research a state and see if there is some pool that title companies are insured by. I've never been involved in suing or making a claim against the title company. So if you keep it short and sweet and don't make it patriotized, you'll put them on an awful lot of pressure. I've seen this done before in other situations, and people wind up begging to stop sending letters. And then you have to follow up with phone calls and make sure that the Attorney General acts in an emergency fashion and does something. And then there's also the possibility of a very brief TRO in an equity court. And for that, so you don't face problems, I would hire a chief attorney. Or if I had a friend who was an attorney, have the attorney put in a TRO with his signature stating that a transfer of a deed has been issued using a forged signature with a counterfeit notary stamp, and it must be stopped right away. We need a show cause hearing on the TRO. He shouldn't get too fanciful and start making a lot of charges. Your job is to stop it, is to stop this action. And is the judge aware of it? Well, let me give you another. The judge who issued the writ of execution, or the clerk in that office, are they aware of the forgery? Oh, that would be the first step, wouldn't it?
Of course.
Get the judge on the phone. Here's one way I might do it if it was me.
Okay.
I might call the Secretary of State and explain to an underling that we have a forged notary seal and a problem here. Would you like to have more information?
Okay.
Yes. Yes. Send me what you have. Very good. Thank you.
Ring.
Now I'm calling, guess who? The judge.
Yes.
Hi. I'd like to speak to Judge such and such. I'm calling on behalf of the Secretary of State, who's asked me to gain more information on this case. Judge, were you aware that this was based upon a false, a forged signature? It's come to our attention that this writ of execution is based upon a deed that has a false signature, or we've received information that it's a false signature with a forged notary stamp and it's under investigation. I suggest you rescind that writ of execution.
You know, I'll probably be dealing with the clerk since this was all done by default, since my parents weren't notified of, you know, never served, not type of thing. So
Exactly. Yes. And I don't know the situation, but it's very possible that the attorney who did it may not even be aware.
Okay.
So you start the letter writing campaign and a few phone calls, you could have this thing nailed probably within a day or two, in my opinion.
Okay. You mentioned the letter earlier, which I was listening to as you were on the air. And then you mentioned in a moment after that that I could get that from the mentor. I'm not sure how to go about that.
I announced the mentor's address on this program 3 or 4 times.
I'll re-listen.
Yeah. Well, we're going to break now, so I don't have a chance to repeat it right now, but we can certainly repeat it after the break. Folks, you're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're going to the phone.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web 24 hours a day at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. And make sure to tell them you heard about us on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions Frequency Instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECAC, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Welcome back, my friends. Thanks for sticking with us. Just a couple of points here. First of all, we do have a couple of open slots on the phone, a couple of open lines, and the phone number is 1-800-313-9443. We'll be going to the phones in a moment. And, Gaylene, the phone number for the California Business Portal, which I understand is a division of the Secretary of State's office in California, the notary section, is 916-653-3595. And perhaps that might be one place to start. If one could secure a letter, here's another thought, Gaylene. What do you do to get an apostille?
You have to go to Sacramento.
And you go to Sacramento,
mm-hmm.
and before you do, don't you take the document to the county and ask them to certify the signature?
That's exactly right.
So go to the county, ask them to certify the signature.
Okay.
And when they can't do it, then ask them for, my goodness, this deed was issued in fraud. I very quickly need a letter from you stating that this notary does not exist. Now you have your evidence.
Okay.
And that should be the end of that situation, knowing how the public works. So I hope those are some helpful ideas. Any questions on that?
Actually, you've been very helpful. I really appreciate it. You have touched on areas that I was thinking about, but you gave me a lot more to think about. And I just really wanted to say thanks very much, especially for your archives. I've been downloading everything onto several family iPods, and we're all getting quite educated on the BIC process, and I know how hard you work at it, and I just wanted to say how much appreciated you are around here.
Oh, boy, thank you, Gaylene. I appreciate that this week.
Well, I know you work very, very hard, and let me tell you, your information is, as I believe Sam Davis says, you have definitely hit on something no one's ever hit on before, and I know it's taken a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, and prayers, and a lot of time away from things that are important to you, and it means a lot to us.
Well, thank you. But let's qualify that, if we may. I'm no expert in contract law. There are people who know a lot more than me that I've learned from. I'm no expert in UCC. There are people who know a lot more than me that I consider to be my mentors, who are much brighter and wiser than I am. The only thing, I didn't invent BIC, the idea of having joint beneficiaries on the instruments.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I really did was run with a process of mine back in 2003 that we... I forget the name of it at the moment, but it was a demand for a trustee's investigation from the Secretary of State as to why funds had not been transferred from a court to Treasury. We were aware of that code, and then BIC fit into that. So there have been many, many minds along the way to take credit for where we're at the moment. All I've done is try and provide written and intellectual resources, so to speak, to take our information and make it applicable in a way that we haven't had before. So,
well, I think you're offering freedom to a lot of people who had no access to freedom before, if they'll just own it, as you say. And like I said, no matter where it came from and how you have perfected it and continue to perfect it, I know there are a lot of people with a lot of heart that is very much into the freedom of Americans, but I really, really want to say how much we appreciate your specific efforts.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that, and let me know how this turns out, okay? I'd hate to see a house on this kind of bogus, fraudulent public garbage evict a couple of people from their own property.
Oh, that will not happen. I do not take no for an answer.
I believe it, and this is the kind of case, I mean this in the best sense of the statement, because I have seen these situations before, and hell hath no fury like a woman scorned in the law. A couple of people come to mind, this woman, Myra, who has a wonderful story to tell, who was at some of our seminars, and... She had, as I recall, a son who was incarcerated on a completely trumped-up charge and took it to them by way of affidavits and brought in a commissioner of some law enforcement department in New York City, and they begged her, just begged her to stop, and she was successful in having him released and his friend released, the third boy in the situation who did not... whose parents did not give her permission to intervene on his behalf, got 5 years probation.
Oh.
So sometimes you can kick these people in the teeth. And believe me, one call from a congressman to that judge would get his attention. So I suggest that there may be other ways to go about that. And good luck with it. I'm sure you'll be successful at it. I appreciate what you're doing.
Thank you. Appreciate all your help.
Welcome.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Bye, Gaylene.
Thank you
and
so much.
And folks, it's my pleasure. Folks, I appreciate your courage. There are thousands of you out there who face these situations, and I may be flip about them at times, but I'm well aware of just how stressful it is when that piece of paper comes in, when the threats are made, when marshals or sheriffs come by and take you in, and I really admire the way many of you have borne up under that kind of stress. It's a thing to behold. Never has there been a movement of such courage that I'm aware of in our time. That includes the men who went to war in World War II. Don't go away.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Once upon a time, Megan, people bought their food at a grocery store.
Oh, I remember.
They're there, Mama.
A grocery store, Dad?
Yes, dear, but that was long ago.
But where did our food come from?
InternetGrocer.net.
InternetGrocer.net? So all these cans?
In uncertain times, we must be prepared. So we buy real canned meats, real canned cheese, and real canned butter from InternetGrocer.net.
Mm. And it's real good, Dad.
Only the highest quality dehydrated and freeze-dried foods and other emergency supplies. Drop shipped direct from the manufacturers right to our door.
So having stored food on hand means we don't have to go into town, right?
Your father's a wise man, Megan.
Be ready for an emergency with InternetGrocer.net's one-year food supply, featuring the best variety in the business. Foods that will store 7 to 15 years or longer, unopened. Go to internet-grocer.net. That's internet-grocer.net or call 903-356-6443.
Hey, everybody. This is James Martinez from the Cash Flow Show. I want to ask you one question and one question only. You're ready to change your life. Now, as you begin to think about that question, how many of you are swimming in credit card debt, tired of credit cards controlling your life, behind on your payments, struggling to make ends meet, all that, worried about your financial well-being? You're going to end that now. Enough is enough. This is hot. Are you ready to feel good now? That's right. Call our toll-free number and listen to our 12-minute overview. It explains who we are and what we do to end your credit card debt. Leave your name and number after the message and do it today. Call 888-213-7655. That's 888-213-7655. Freedom is a phone call away. Away. A way for you to feel good now. 888-213-7655. 888-213-7655.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Hi, welcome to America. Glad you made it. On the left, you'll notice a coin slot. Insert dollars only, please.
I got no bread for the rent. I got my next two paychecks spent. And my debts are rising faster than a rocket.
Welcome back, my friends, and thank you for sticking with us. We're going to go to the phones again. Before we do, let me reiterate what I said, that it's stressful, and it places our families at risk, as well as ourselves, in a way that I think is unique. The boys that went off to war during World War II and in other situations very often went off because they took offense at the actions that had happened against their country, or they believed some of the propaganda that had been issued by the rulers of their country. But in these situations, when you decide to accept the battle for freedom in your own backyard and you do it for non-monetary reasons, it is a truly courageous undertaking, and there can be many pleasant, unpleasant days in fret and worry in these situations. It helps, of course, to get to the point where you say, you know, I don't really care what happens to me. When you get to the point of having the mindset of Dr. Martin Luther King or Gandhi or Christ, who accepted and knew his fate. So I applaud each and every one of you. Sometimes it's hard to remember that when we're involved in the battles, but I really applaud each and every one of you. Antonio in Maryland, are you still there?
Hey, Sam.
Yes, Antonio. Thank you for joining us. Appreciate it. Do you have a question, Antonio?
Well, I want to compliment you, number one, for a job well done. I was glad somebody directed you or directed me to you. I've been out here calling myself, giving educational advice and assisting people, and your combining everybody's strategy is worth its weight in gold. And the last help that you did with the young lady, that's hitting the nail right on the head. She needs to go get that signature authenticated. When they won't do it, put in a petition for revocation of signature due to fraud, and that will stop that process dead in its tracks.
Yeah, well, we hope. You know, the problem is that we hit so many unpleasant situations with judges acting against those who would enter that forum without representation by one of their own, that you never know. So that's why I suggest some of the political stuff would be helpful as well. But that's exactly what an attorney would do.
Right.
Is put in for an involuntary revocation of signature by exposing the fact that it is not a signature, it's a forgery. So very good. So thank you for that, Antonio.
Yes, I would love to be able to make it to the retreat, but unfortunately finances is prohibiting me from doing that, but God willing, I will make the next one. But I had a couple interesting things happen regarding my own process. One was a notice of lien that I sent the copies of the documents to Treasury to notify them, to which they kept them. Well, they went to DOT, of course, as you know. They x-rayed the packages, and they held it for 2.5 months and then returned the entire envelope.
Well, whenever they do a return, of course, they know they return everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned that on the last program. When we do, I think the last program, when we do a return, when we get a presentment, for instance, from IRS, it always has a copy of the letter inside. For your convenience, we've enclosed a copy for your records.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for that, in my opinion, is nothing more than so that when the acceptor keeps the copy, he has accepted the liability. The same way a judge says to the presumed defendant, do you have a copy of the indictment? And once you say yes, you're dead meat. So in doing a return, it's essential to send everything back and make sure the cover letter notes that everything is being returned, including the mailing wrapper and the internal envelopes.
Right.
So anyway, so you sent something to Treasury, and they sent it back to you. What did you send to Treasury?
I sent them the bonds and the paperwork, that all documents that were sent to the originator of the notice of lien. And I sent them exactly that, this is a copy for your records, this is the individual who's holding the bonds, here's the tracking number, everything that goes with it. And like I said, they opened it, they sat on it for 2 months, it has the Department of Justice x-ray stamp on it, where they've x-rayed the envelope, they tore open the envelope, they retaped the envelope, sent it right back.
Okay.
And I just thought that was real humorous that they did that.
Well, let me observe that, to the best of my knowledge, we have never had a BIC instrument which was sent to Treasury returned. There may be some out there, but I've never been apprised of that. In fact, I've had letters from people saying, they were pretty outstanding letters, I remember them well, saying, you know, every bond I've ever sent to Treasury came back except this. This is the first time they accepted it. So we think, as far as that goes, we're on the right track, and any of this doesn't matter, that it's a frivolous piece of paper, is belied by the fact that they hold on to it, just like that mentor said in her letter. If the document has a defect or is worthless, then why is it not returned?
Right.
So what are you doing about your situation?
Well, I just recently filed the 1040 along with the 1099 OID, and I'm just waiting to see what they're going to do with that tidbit of information.
Yeah, very good. Very good. Sometimes we're doing that with a VIC payment. Sometimes we're doing it just on the coupon itself. It depends on how it comes in. I personally have done both myself, and we're expanding our experience in this field. It's very, very interesting to see what some of the responses are. Very often you'll get back a CP-22 letter indicating that if you do it again, it'll be frivolous.
Right.
And we are returning those with the envelope, which usually has the red postal stamp on it,
mm-hmm.
with an OID for the year that you receive it in, as well as a very brief cover letter saying, please honor the commercial affidavits already in your possession pursuant to the Form 56, and sometime already in your possession. And sometimes we're including a new Form 56 naming the party who sends it to us as well to make sure that they have a complete, clear fiduciary authority, subordinate to the Secretary's fiduciary authority, of course, to process that those commercial affidavits in their possession. So hopefully that will all work out.
Yeah, because that was the ending process I did. I took the year before I did the 1040 paperwork along the 1099s. I went down, I filled out my Form 56, went down, took everything down to my local office, had them time stamp it, put their little stamp on it, and I mailed it off.
Well, that's one way you can do it, certainly. We've been a little more casual, just sending the Form 56 in, sometimes under registered mail, but whatever works, which reminds me. I received an email. I knew I forgot to mark something down for today. This is a very interesting point and relates to what you just said, Antonio. We've spoken at previous seminars about registering the promissory note, but, you know, I don't think I made it very clear what I was talking about, which is a problem of mine. Sometimes I don't. You know, we're talking about so many topics, we can get lost. You don't take the promissory note into the county office and register it.
No.
Because if you did, what would you be doing, Antonio?
You would be duplicating the work.
Well, you would be converting it into a public security, a public document. And it's
correct.
A private document. We don't want to do that.
Right.
The way we register it is by listing the document, listing the promissory note.
Right.
On a UCC-1, listing it in the collateral box, and it might say something like, promissory note number such and such issued by such and such on such and such date as for the purpose of funding the proceeds for, and then it might be whatever, if you're going to use it to at a real estate closing or for a sheriff's sale or for funding this lien as payment on account number such and such, could list a Social Security account, for tax years number such and such to apply to notice of lien number such and such filed on a particular date. We do that. Then we issue a UCC-3 releasing just the note but not the proceeds. Very short and sweet. Releasing promissory note such and such to the intended vendor. It could be the bank, it could be IRS or whomever. Now that may sound a little stupid. In fact, it sounds a lot stupid since it's coming out of my mouth. But the rationale actually is bulletproof.
Right.
We give notice of our lien on the collateral. So now we basically, what does IRS do? They file a notice of lien. They never file the lien. They file a notice of lien in the county. We have now filed a notice of lien in the county. And by the way, if that was a real estate filing, you would attach a UCC 1AD, the addenda form, and check off the fixtures box.
Mm-hmm.
So we file notice of lien in the county on that UCC 1. And then we release the note so whomever is the recipient can negotiate it and give them a copy of that. So I haven't made that as clear as I should have, but now we've corrected that for the record, haven't we?
Right. Well, I've just recently did that. I had a young lady friend of mine who had an investment property that she could no longer handle, and she wrote me a note, and I accepted it for value, and I tendered the her final payment on it, when she gave me her bill, and I, you know, made a BIC process of it. Well, and I also took it along with filing the UCC, did a quick claim deed on it.
Well that's certainly possible. The quick claim deed just adds to it.
Mm-hmm. Well, as of January, they had the process since January, and they just notified her maybe a week ago, and they told her that they, you know, was interested in where her payments were. They haven't been receiving any payments. Long story short, we cut through all that. I faxed them a copy of all the documentation. They wrote her back, letting her know that by her quit claiming the deed, the property to me, she is still liable for the tender. Of course, she went into a panic. I said, no, don't worry about it. I said, because I've been waiting for that to happen. I said, because now that we have a name, even though when I did the fiduciary appointment, there was no name. They wouldn't talk to me. They wouldn't give me a name.
Right.
Well, now that they wrote her a letter, I have now taken that letter, accepted it for value. The gentleman's name, of course, the letter was unsigned, as everything they do. But I put his name on the newly appointed fiduciary. I did the UCC-3 reassignment, just expedited the filing as of Friday, waiting for them to return the stamped document, and then we'll forward them the rest of the documentation.
Yeah, very good. So you're converting the liability in no uncertain terms and making a public record of it to this third party.
Correct.
And then if this third party fails to appropriate the funds properly, the misappropriation can then be reported on a 1099 OID by issuing a corrected OID indicating that that party is personally liable. It may not be an instant solution, but there will be a resolution of that account. In fact, it could be quit claimed again over to IRS, and that assignment to IRS is good as gold. People don't realize they can assign their accounts receivable to IRS in place of payment. So IRS,
well, I'm in the process of doing that.
Well, they'll be more than happy to collect on that.
Oh, yeah.
That's all I was going to say. One other thing, as much as we don't like statutes, when dealing with a bank or a private organization, a so-called private organization of some sort, it sometimes is helpful to include a copy of whatever the UCC code is in that state indicating that there's been a discharge of the liability. Because they are attorneys after all, and they tend to respect their own private corporate statutory quote-unquote law as they understand it. So sometimes when that's done as a matter of record, they come to the realization that if they then go ahead and file a lawsuit, they're going to have to be violating Rule 11 and putting their signature on a document that is a fraud upon the court. So that may help in a process like that as well.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned court. I'm also doing a process with my nephew regarding his credit card situation, where the judge rejected his petition because he mentioned that his legal fiction was the property of the secure party, which is me, listed the UCC filing number on it. It was put in on a Monday and also sent to the attorney on that Monday. By Wednesday, we got the order denied back that fast.
Yeah. what was that an order for?
It was an order to deny the petition. They misinterpreted the petition as the intervener filing the petition.
Well, an intervener can file a petition. That may not have been clear, but that was, it's actually what I was thinking, that if you wanted to play around in that forum, and you are the creditor, why not go in and defend your claim? Excuse me, I'm here today as the creditor, and I have a first-in-line security interest, which apparently you folks are seeking a trespass on. We're going to have to deal with that right away. Go ahead and do what you want against that defendant, but you better pay me first. That better be part of your court order.
Yeah, I didn't think about it that way, because I was just going to, you know, I was just going to put in a judicial misconduct form and then
Before you move to misconduct, why not just treat it as commerce? Anyway, Antonio,
all right.
I appreciate the conversation here. It sounds like you're doing some real good work. Why don't you send a note up to restore.america@hotmail.com and identify yourself to me, okay?
Okay.
Thanks. Enjoyed it. We'll be back in a moment, folks.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare with your children being raised by someone else? With our free information, you can lead a less stressful life, work from home, and start earning money as soon as next week.
I was about to be laid off from a company that was going bankrupt. On top of that, I wanted my kids to have mommy care, not daycare. My first month, I made $1,000 part-time. After 90 days, I was home with my children. And for the past 7 years, I've been here for my three little girls. I love this business.
Go to freedom94.com. Get out of the rat race and start earning great money as soon as next week.
I was skeptical. However, I had to get out of corporate America. Both me and my wife were able to quit our jobs and now make over $10,000 a month from home.
Go to freedom94.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 94.com. Freedom94.com. And start earning great money as soon as next week.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
The boogie train, it's a boogie thing. Welcome back, my friends. Well, another 2 hours, just about, has passed before us, which just adds to the sensation that life is fleeting. I lost one of my favorite animals this week, just a couple of days ago, and it was a very hard loss. We gave her an injection. Just before the fatal injection, I wanted to give her a sedative. and suddenly her breathing stopped and she panicked. She knew she was going to die. It was a gruesome, gruesome thing. But of course, it's hard to get that picture out of my mind. She was a wonderful little creature. And the thing is, I'm struck with how the body doesn't give up. How desperately we cling to life until we realize that we have to let it go. And it's that desperation for life that has so many people scared of death, scared of the dark side. And I think that the sooner we come to grips with our own mortality and our own death, then the easier it is to enjoy the life that the Lord has blessed us with for as ever long as it lasts. I look at these little animals and their lifespan is 10, 15, 20 years. It is so short. And they spend those last few years, many of them struggling and in pain, just like we do. Very fleeting and very purposeless unless we recognize the purpose of it. And I was taught when I was a young man that the purpose of life is to, well, maybe not such a young man, is to grow to become God, to become godlike in our behavior, emulate the Lord, and conduct ourselves as He would have us conduct ourselves in His world. And the law for that is very specific. It was given to us. The law with a capital L. He wrote it on a tablet so we could see it and digest it and understand it. And that's the only law we need. And it is at times shocking to me that man has presumed to substitute billions of words on millions of pieces of paper for the aggrandizement and profit of corporations in place of His word. So I'm glad at least that I'm a member of a community that recognizes the law for what it is. The highest and only law of the land. Thank you for joining me, my friends. We'll be back next Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the next edition of Take No Prisoners on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Good night, and God bless. Thank you for joining me. Once upon a